For this week's Peace Bucket, we're joined by Lindsay Kashgarian, who's with the National Priorities Project. And she, I believe, actually is the keynote speaker at this Saturday's 23rd Annual Qatari Peace Conference, talking about militarism, climate change, and the existential threats we face. We've had Lindsay and others on for the National Priorities Project in the past, but Lindsay, why don't you just give us a brief intro to the National Priorities Project, and then, you know, maybe give us a little intro to your talk this weekend.
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having me. National Priorities Project has been around since 1983, actually, when it was formed by a few friends in Springfield, Massachusetts, who noticed that a lot of locally run programs and libraries and things were having to cut programming. And when they went to look to find out why, they found the answer in Ronald Reagan's federal budget and in the buildup of military spending. And at the time, it was also a drastic cut in social spending. And so ever since then, the National Priorities Project has watched the federal budget and kept an eye on how much we've spent on the military and war and how much we've spent on human needs and social programs. And we're at a really critical time for this right now. We are facing a climate crisis that is just building and gaining in urgency, and we are far from taking the steps that we need to take to address it. You know, we're trying desperately as a society, as a world, to emerge from this global pandemic that has shaped our lives, all of our lives, for the last year and a half. And we're really struggling economically at the same time. You know, we have millions of people who are facing homelessness because of the pandemic when eviction moratoriums end. We have a labor market that can't seem to provide enough living wage jobs for people, and corporations that are just able to kind of keep getting away with the same types of tax evasion and sub-living wage jobs and all of these things. And in the same time, we're just pouring billions and billions of dollars every year into the Pentagon and war, and increasingly into militarizing at home, you know, increasingly into the militarization of the southern border and our immigration enforcement systems and mass incarceration, and all of these things that just try to, you know, try to solve all of our problems through militarism and violence, and really at the expense of real solutions to problems like climate change and the pandemic and making sure that everybody is able to live in this country.
I was reading briefly one of the reports your group had issued a while back, and you made the point that racism and racial oppression form the foundation for both the extractive fossil fuel economy and the militarized economy, which is certainly true, but not a point that many people make. And, you know, could you explain that a little bit more?
Yes. So, you know, both of these things, there are a few things in common here. You know, one is that the fossil fuel industry and the military industrial complex both kind of have their fingers in our government and are able to pull out a lot of strings and make sure that they continue to get their needs met. They're both obviously tremendously profit-driven and things that don't particularly contribute to the well-being of ordinary people, but make tremendous amounts of profit for a few select people and their shareholders. And they're very destructive industries. You know, fossil fuel, in the most obvious ways, it's the direct cause of climate change. But the military-industrial complex is the Pentagon. The U.S. Pentagon is the largest industrial fossil fuel emitter, the largest single entity that emits fossil fuels in the world. Emits more than any other single entity in the world. It emits more than many countries. Our Pentagon and our wars emit more fossil fuel emissions every year than many mid-sized countries. And so both of them are tremendously contributing directly to climate change as well. Of course, another thing that they both have in common is that both of them are seen as job creators by too many of our members of Congress, to some degree by the public, although the public is much less much less of the opinion that these are major job creators than members of Congress are. But that's one of the reasons that they've both been so hard to take apart, is the perception that they're job creators. But the truth is that they are not good job creators compared to things that we might want, like renewable energy or higher education or public education or healthcare or other things that we ought to be investing more in, and that we haven't invested in because, in large part, we're investing so much in these destructive industries.
You addressed this issue earlier, but you had mentioned prior to us getting on that your organization, as part of the observance of the 20th anniversary of 9/11, put out a report about how much money, basically we have lost to domestic needs to, fund this so-called war on terror. You know, what were some of the key findings from that report?
Yes, Mark. Well, it's been 20 years since 9/11 and 20 years since the U.S. started the war in Afghanistan. And of course, the U.S. has just very short time ago pulled our last troops from Afghanistan. But in those 20 years, we have just poured trillions of dollars into our war machine and the Pentagon. And as I mentioned earlier, the increasing militarization here at home. And our new report finds that we've spent $21 trillion on these things over the past 20 years. And just to put that into a bit of context, most of us don't really have a good reference point for trillions in our day-to-day lives. It's a little bit of a hard number to understand. But whereas we've spent $21 trillion on militarization and war over the past 20 years, it would have cost just $4.5 trillion to fully build a new electric grid for this country based on renewable sources for the entire country. And that's less than a quarter of what we've spent on militarism during that time.
Now, I also read in one of your statements, one of the, great threats on climate change in terms of military conflict, will be the issue of, refugees, fleeing as the, land is lost, water is lost, food is lost. You've mentioned that the Pentagon has been preparing a militarized armed lifeboat response to climate chaos. What did you mean by that?
The Pentagon has actually been preparing for climate change for a long time. So even going back into the 90s and the early 2000s, many of us knew about climate change. We'd heard of it. Maybe we'd heard Al Gore talking about it, or some of the scientists that were warning about it, going back that far. But the Pentagon has been taking climate change seriously for that long as well. The problem is that the Pentagon's approach hasn't been to say that we need to prevent climate change, or that we need to turn the process of climate change around, or even that we need to be resilient in this country to climate change. The Pentagon's entire approach, of course, because it is what it is, has been a military approach. And so you have the Pentagon saying that we need to, prepare to essentially rebuff refugees from climate nations, or that we need to essentially build up our military response so that when climate-driven conflict emerges in places around the world, the U.S. military is ready to engage in or put down that conflict militarily. And so it's tremendously damaging. It's hard to imagine a more dystopian response to climate refugees than for the U.S. military to go in and occupy a space and invade and do all of the things that they do. So, and the Pentagon, as I mentioned, has been talking about this for decades, and they're still kind of taking that approach that instead of addressing the root issues, they're interested in building up military bases around U.S. military bases to be resilient to climate change. Let alone what happens to the people who live in the areas around those bases. So it's a tremendously dystopian response to climate change that the Pentagon has had for a long time and that they're continuing today.
I did like one thing I saw you write. Immigrant justice is climate justice, and challenging militarism is critical to achieving both. And we've been talking with Lindsay Kashgarian, who'll be one of the keynote speakers at the 23rd Annual Qatari Peace Conference this Saturday, September 18th. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.